listening to In the Moment on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Lori Walsh. We're continuing our conversation now about science and space and stargazing with Diane Knutson. She's a South Dakota entrepreneur and president of the International Dark Sky Association Board of Directors. She also founded the South Dakota chapter of the International Dark Sky Association. This weekend, she presented at the Badlands Astronomy Festival, and today she's joining me in SDPB's Sioux Falls studios. Hey, Diane, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So we were starting this conversation earlier with Tom Durkin, and we're going to continue it with you, and I want to get at this idea of why a dark sky matters beyond just this overwhelming sense of wonder that we have and this connection that we have to being able to see the sky without, you know, human interference of light. But it also matters to the ecosystem as a whole. Tell me about that.
Right. There's a lot of astronomical impacts, but also the ecological impacts as well. For example, fireflies, they are bioluminescent creatures, and they communicate with each other by illuminating themselves. And they can only find each other if they can see each other at night. Once it gets too bright, they can't find each other, they can't mate, and they have a really hard time.
Yeah. Bird migration, songbird migration is thrown off by light pollution, or?
Yeah, yeah. There's even a program called FLAP. It's Fatal Light Awareness Program. There are over 250,000 birds a day that are getting lost in their migration or light pollution patterns because they navigate by starlight at night. They get pulled into city areas that have a lot of light and they get lost. They circle buildings that are illuminated, can't find their star pattern to get back out and continue their travels. They'll end up flying and continue flying and then just pass out from exhaustion or end up colliding with a building. So they have to have the quality of the night to be able to move and have their habitat, as well as songbirds in the middle of the night that are singing to the sky glow, which is that glow that you see from a distance from cities that looks almost like a sunrise or a sunset. They actually do think it is the sun rising. So they're singing in the middle of the night with their circadian rhythm of their day and night cycle completely thrown off.
Yeah. So how did you get involved in this work?
I was a seasonal park ranger at Wind Cave and gave night sky program talks. And there was a gal in the audience that asked me what happens if we don't stop light pollution. And I thought, this is something that we really need to address because not very many people know about it. And that's one of our big obstacles is the awareness that light pollution is a big concern. It's a growing concern. It's increasing faster than the human population at 2%. Increase every year, and not just intensity, but also the boundary is widening. So you only have in the United States about 8 natural night places available and left. Every other location has an impact of light pollution.
Define light pollution then, and how we can make some of these, because Tom Durkin was talking about just, it can be simple as putting a cover on a light if you're adding something new. So talk a little bit about how we create it and how we dismantle it.
Yes. So a lot of the light pollution can come from signage, from businesses. It can come from street lights through cities. It can come from residential homeowners or developments that what IDA does is help with the 5 friendly night lighting principles. One of those is shielding, where you're directing the light down toward where you're trying to illuminate instead of out or up. Once it goes out and up, you're creating a lot of glare and a lot more light pollution that makes it harder to see and doing the opposite of what we're really trying to achieve if you want to illuminate something. The other one is dimming, so the intensity. A lot of cities are converting from high-pressure sodium lights to LED lights, which is a great energy saver, but the intensity is going up 5-fold because LEDs are so much more efficient in their light output that the wattage needs to be decreased by about 85-90% instead of 50%, which we're seeing a lot of as those conversions happening. So lights can be put on dimmers, they can be put on motion sensors or timers. So the light's only on when it's being used. And then color temperature. So we're using more amber red colors instead of the blue and white light that mimics the daytime cycle can be another one.
How can people get involved in this organization or in the work that you're doing, whether it's from trying to figure out what to do in their own backyards to being part of a greater advocacy group?
Mm-hmm. There's a great resource on darksky.org that has information about how to make your place night sky friendly and get that certified, anything from a home or a community. And there's local chapters throughout the world. It's a worldwide organization, so they can get involved in locally or more globally. And on there, there's a bunch of downloadable brochures that talk about the impacts of light pollution.
Yeah, you're also working on a constellation designation for a state constellation. Do I have that right?
We were trying to celebrate the night sky through having a Lakota constellation designated as a state constellation of South Dakota, and that being Tayamani. And there's other states that have different things, that ways they celebrate emblems, and that would be a great way that we could celebrate the night where we live. That's a little unique.
All right. Diane Knutson is an entrepreneur and president of the International Dark Sky Association Board of Directors, and she founded the South Dakota chapter of International Dark Sky. You can find more information at darksky.org and at dianeknutson.com. Thanks for coming back. We'll see you again in the future.
Thank you very much.